to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Hello, Dolphins fans, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. I am your host, Tom Earnessy, on this Monday, March 25th. Let's just jump right into the news as we have it. Chris Greer celebrated his 49th birthday on Sunday. Happy birthday, Chris Greer. We are excited that you are officially the general manager of the Miami Dolphins and hope continued success in this offseason, and hopefully the draft goes very well. Now, speaking of the draft, one of the big topics, obviously, as we lead up to the NFL draft is who are these teams meeting with? Who have they met with? Who are they planning on bringing in for visits, private workouts, so on and so forth? So, this point, let's take a look at the Miami Dolphins. These are players that the Miami Dolphins have spoken with at, I'm going to start at the Combine, the East-West Shrine Game, sorry, and the Senior Bowl. I'm leaving out of the equation right now, but let's talk about most recently. So the Dolphins have had conversations with Ben Banigou, who is the defensive end outside linebacker for TCU, Nick Bosa. They've also met with Dexter Lawrence, Byron Murphy, Ed Oliver, Charles Oaminu, Jache Polite, Riley Ridley, Juwan Taylor, and Greedy Williams. This all happened at the Combine. So they've met with these players and had a brief conversation at the Combine with each of these guys. Now, the likes of a Nick Bosa, potentially Ed Oliver, maybe even Juwan Taylor, these guys probably will not be on the board for the Miami Dolphins by the time they pick. Nick Bosa for sure will not be anywhere close to the Miami Dolphins selection at 13 when they do make the pick. But what I found interesting when looking at this, on this list, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 defensive ends slash defensive tackles. Slash maybe outside linebackers in the system. So they are definitely looking at that position as a strong possibility at 13. But in regards to the pro day, the Miami Dolphins have met with Jalen Ferguson at their pro day, at his pro day at Louisiana Tech, Emmanuel Hall at Missouri, Kader Holman was also met. He is a corner from Toledo. Drew Lock, quarterback from Missouri, we all know his name. Coda Martin, offensive tackle from Syracuse. Aaron Monteiro, offensive tackle from Boston College. And Chase Winovich at his pro day in Michigan. All have met with the Miami Dolphins at their pro day. So why am I bringing this up? Well, now it's becoming more official. The Miami Dolphins are meeting with particular players. Right now there are two official visits out of the 30 that will be coming to the Miami Dolphins facility in Davie for private conversations as well as more likely possible workouts. The first one on the list is Jalen Ferguson. He is the edge rusher out of Louisiana Tech. Now, Jalen Ferguson, for the most part, he was a three-star recruit going into college. He is 6'5", 269 pounds. He is a redshirt senior, and I love using the website Draft Network. They have great stuff on there. Let me just quickly break down a couple of the things that they said regarding Jalen Ferguson. He has a solid burst off the snap with good stride length up the arc. Not an overly explosive player, but easy to see him get familiar with cadences and jump snaps as the game progresses. That reminds me of Cameron Wake. In that aspect, I'm not saying he's going to be Cameron Wake or he's on the level of Cameron Wake. I'm just saying Wake was very good at determining snap counts to get a jump on the play. Hand uses, this is where he makes his money. Terrific speed to power conversion with low pad level and hands inside. Strong, he's a physical player. He utilizes his long arms and cross chops at the top of the arc to beat tackles' hands. Push and pull and snatch is his signature move, tossed around LSU's right tackle like he was a Division III kid. So that is his biggest strength. Run defense, stud at the point of attack. He doesn't get knocked back. Uses his hands well to keep blockers out of his frame and full with full arm extension. Sets a strong edge and plays assignment sound at all times. Steps down with perfect pace in unblocked situations. Lacks the range and athleticism to make a lot of plays away from his gap. He does play with good leverage despite his height to anchor and shed without giving ground. Scheme versatility. This is where it gets important, folks. He has played from a 2- and 3-point stance, but I don't believe he's anything other than a hand-down defensive end in the NFL. Not athletic enough to be a preferable option in coverage. Doesn't get reps inside at Louisiana Tech, but I could see the NFL kicking him inside and letting him rush the passer over a guard on long and late downs. Final thoughts on Jalen Ferguson. He has a low ceiling and high floor edge defender who can operate best from a 3-point stance in the NFL. He does have ideal athletic traits, nor will he be quick winner off the edge in the NFL, but he's a strong run defender at the point of attack and could project to an interior rush role on long and late downs. He shouldn't be thought as a coveted prospect, but in mid-rounds, Ferguson can be a valuable extra rusher and rotational defender for an NFL team. Bottom line is this. Jalen Ferguson has been discussed as maybe a late first, maybe in the second round draft pick. One of the writers at the Draft Network believes that he should be more of a mid-round pick, maybe 3 or 4. I guess it's really going to depend, but the Dolphins bringing him in, you kind of, again, get a sense what kind of direction that they may be looking at pick 13 and throughout the entire draft of the type of defenders, especially, again, along the defensive line that they're looking to get. The other player that is official to come visit Davey is LJ Collier. He is a defensive end / 3-4 outside linebacker from TCU. And the report on him is he is very competitive as his biggest strength. He's ultra physical and competitive, backs down from no one, and plays hard every snap. In the games that I watched, as in the writer from Draft Network, he did not seem like he was an every down player and was frequently subbed out. Something to watch when projecting more usage in the NFL. When it comes to something that he's lacking, I would guess, is his burst and flexibility. So it says here that he's not an explosive edge rusher with very little burst and unimpressive stride length up the arc. Slow starter and false steps are frequent. Doesn't show great snap anticipation and won't beat anyone with speed to the corner. Lacks the flexibility to turn the corner through contact. Has some flexibility in his ankles to tilt the edge, but needs a favorable path to the quarterback to make it work. With his size and lack of edge rushing traits, a transition to the inside as a nickel rusher seems likely. Collier is 6'4", 276. He was a 3-star recruit coming out of college. At the end of the day, he is a hard-nosed end, and he plays with some anchor, stood up as a forced defender, drops into coverage, and even saw the occasional inside rush rep for TCU. He did it all as a rotational player, yet he still managed 11.5 tackles for loss and 6 sacks in the season, good chunks coming in 2 games. Collier simply doesn't have the desirable athletic traits and pass rush ability to be a preferable starter on the edge, and I don't see him holding up as an every down interior player, even if he does hit 280 on the scale. Best bet, becomes a masterful technician and gets time as an interior nickel rusher in the NFL. So the 2 starting visits for the Miami Dolphins, they are looking potentially at these guys as depth players, mid-round picks potentially, just based on what I just went through. So there's going to be a lot more to come. The Miami Dolphins obviously are not done with really anything in this draft process. They still have 28 other players that they can bring in on visits. Now, I do want to say this. The Dolphins in the past have met with a player, whether it was at a pro day, whether it was at the combine, but did not bring that person in for a private visit because it's not, they don't want to tip their hand on the player they really want. So it has been done in the past. I believe that happened with Charles Harris a couple years ago, and we know how so far that has worked out with Charles Harris, but the Dolphins did not meet with him privately at the team facility. So the when Charles Harris was drafted, it came to a surprise to him because he met them briefly, but then they ended up picking him in the draft back in 2017. So I'm going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk some Brian Flores news, and we will wrap up today's show with some somber news, but we will be back after these words.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wink in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com say.
We are back. Thank you again for listening in. Let's talk Brian Flores. And the first thing that I do want to mention regarding Brian Flores is that he had a interview with Judy Batista from NFL Network. And overall, you know, you get a sense from this guy. And, you know, I'm really starting to like Chris Greer a little bit more as we go through this process. Just hearing him talk and hearing the confidence in this guy's voice, you know, who wouldn't want to run through a wall for the guy? The way that he preaches, the way that he talks, and the confidence that he has in himself and the people around him that they can make this team very successful. So, in regards to the conversation with Judy Batista, he was asked essentially about the tank, quote unquote, the tank, and rebuilding. And his response was that pretty much the Patriots, the Jets, and the Bills, everybody rebuilds. That was his personal philosophy. And, you know, last year was last year, this year is this year, so everybody's in a building stage right now. 100% agree with that. Not every no team is going to be the same as they were last year. Every team is going to be different, whether it's from a coaching staff perspective, players, front office, whatever it is, that's what's going on right now in the NFL. And, you know, while the talk in the offseason is really focused on the Dolphins putting themselves in position potentially for a quarterback in the 2020 draft class, Flores does not see, quote, tanking as the team's plan. Judy Batista pointed to the Dolphins accumulating draft picks and obviously clearing cap space and asking Flores if he sees the Dolphins as a team dismantling this year for a big growth period in the future. Brian Flores said that, you know, we have had an opportunity to accumulate some draft picks, and I think we are going to try to take advantage of that. I think every team tries to do that or will try to do that if they can. Our process really is no different than anyone else's. Again, great answer by Brian Flores. You're not saying, yeah, we're just tossing in the towel. The season's over already. The ultimate goal is to win football games. And if the Dolphins are looking to win football games, they're going to do everything they can to win games, whether that's accumulating draft picks over the long haul, shedding that cap space and going after it in 2020. I get it. But in 2019, he's looking to win. And going off of that, he does say that, quote, I can tell you we are going to go out and try to win every single game, every single week. That's our goal every week. So I think that's where we're at. And Batista asked Flores if he sees with his position with the Dolphins as secure enough to make it through the growth and building process. And this is what I think a lot of Dolphins fans need to understand about Brian Flores. And I think we all need to stand behind this guy because of this quote right here. I'm a very confident individual. I'm confident in my leadership ability. I'm confident in my ability to coach defensively, offensively, and in the kicking game. Yeah, I'm confident in myself, but I am also confident in the people in the building. From general manager Chris Greer, Brandon Shore, to our coaching staff, to our media team, we've got a lot of good people here. I think the foundation is there, and just like every other team, we are building. But we talk about this. It is going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take sticking together, going through adversity, and coming out the other side. I think we are going to try to wire the team and wire the people in the building to be ready for that, and I think we'll be okay. Brian Flores understands what's happening and what is going to be happening for the Miami Dolphins this season. It's going to be a painful year, and I don't think we're going to give Brian Flores the Steve Wilks treatment in Arizona. Arizona was an absolute dumpster fire last year. And the fact that they fired him last year, or this year, shows no faith. Bringing somebody in, understanding what's in front of him, putting a really crappy product on the field, and then firing him after 1 year to he didn't get a chance to prove himself. I don't think Chris Greer and Stephen Ross are meant to do this for Brian Flores. I think Flores is going to be the guy. He's going to be here for bare minimum 3 to 4 years. They have to see this rebuild through. They have to see where this progresses. And right now the team is moving in the right direction. So that is what's most important, and I'm very happy with Brian Flores at this point. We'll see how well it plays out. We'll see how well he can coach this football team and get the most out of these guys each and every week. To finish today's show, I do have somber news. I'm not sure if many people are aware of this, but condolences to Brian Flores, Miami Dolphins head coach. He did lose his mother, Maria, earlier this week with the battle with cancer. In a classy gesture, a few weeks ago, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross wanted Brian Flores to have as much support around him as possible, so he did offer up his private plane for many of the team's assistant coaches to be present for the funeral. So, condolences to Brian Flores, to his family, to his friends, close friends. We are very sorry here at DolphinsTalk.com for the loss of your mother. Can't fathom how you would, how someone can process potentially losing their mother at such a young age. You know, Brian Flores is only, I think, 35 or 36 years old. So, condolences to Mr. Brian Flores. And we are going to end the show with a moment of silence for Maria. And hopefully that she has fought her last battle here on earth, but she will have, peace in heaven after she passed. So we're going to end today's show. We're going to have 10 seconds of silence. Again, condolences to Brian Flores and his family from everyone here at DolphinsTalk.com. And with that, it will do it for today's show. And I am out. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.